station.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Hey, neighbor. Did you talk with the people you love last night about the things that you wonder about and that you... Well, there's somebody at the door already. Why, it's Mr. McFeely. Mr. McFeely's your name.
The delivery, here's the film you wanted to see.
Oh, I haven't shown the picture to my friends yet.
Well, would you like to do it right now?
Yes, I would. Could you stay?
Well, sure, and we can watch the film a little later and we'll talk about it, okay?
Certainly. Mr. McFeely has a film that shows people making certain kinds of bass violins. But first, I want to show you a picture that I brought. If you'll just wait 1 second. Now, this big one is a bass violin. You see, it's about as tall as a mom or a dad. This is a cello. And this is a viola. And this is a violin. So the bass violin is the biggest, and the violin is the smallest of these stringed instruments. Now let's see how people make bass violins in a factory.
All right, there's the film.
Thank you. You'll help us understand how it's done. Okay, we'll put the film in picture-picture and see how people make bass violins in a factory.
When people make bass violins, they start with small pieces of wood. This man will be building the sides of the bass violin first.
What's he doing there?
Well, now these pieces need to be bent into different shapes before they're put together.
Oh.
This machine curves each piece into exactly the right shape.
I see the steam there.
Now it's time to glue all the different shapes together.
Glue them together.
That's right. He'll do this on something called a frame. As each piece is glued on, he'll use clamps to hold everything together.
Well, I see the clamps, but I don't see the glue.
You see, there's that little jar there and a brush. And he brushes on the glue.
Uh-huh. So that one piece will hold those others together. So he's making the sides.
And when the glue is dry, the whole shape comes off the frame.
They all look exactly the same.
That's so they'll all sound the same.
Now, what's happening here?
Now, these people are going to put on the front and back of the bass violin.
Oh, well, they're using another type of frame, aren't they?
Well, that's right. It holds the sides in place while they put the glue on. See, there goes the glue.
Mm-hmm. Two people gluing at the same time.
There goes the front piece, face down. And here comes the sides.
Oh. So that glue.
Lou will go right down to the front piece, face down.
The back is put on the same way. And that's how the bottom of the bass violin gets made. Now it's time to make the top part. It's called the neck.
The neck.
That's right. This person cuts the shape out of a piece of very hard wood.
He must know exactly where to cut that wood.
Well, yes, he does. And he's very good at his job.
Well, it seems like all these people are. To be careful. Oh, there's the neck.
Now, the neck must be rounded and smoothed into just the right shape.
Well, there's a very fast way to carve, isn't it?
Certainly is. Speedy delivery. Now, this person's job is to fit the neck into the body of the bass violin. He's got to make sure that it fits exactly right.
There's more glue there.
More glue, and he's when he's satisfied with that, that it has to be perfect, he's gluing it right now, you see? And now watch this. Into place.
The top onto the bottom. Oh, what's going on here?
Now, the bass violin is painted with many coats of clear varnish. It makes the instrument look pretty, but it also helps it sound good, too.
Oh, so they varnish it and then let that dry, and then varnish it again and let that dry. Over and over, huh?
Over and over again, many coats.
Certainly looks good.
Now it's time for this person to put on this bridge and strings.
Oh, the strings.
He'll use a drill to speed up the winding of the strings.
Really starting to look like a musical instrument now, isn't it?
But listen.
Oh, its very first notes. Well, now is it finished?
Well, almost.
Well, it sounds mighty good.
Now this person puts in a label that tells where and when this bass violin was made.
So each one would have a different number or name?
That's right. You see, he puts it inside. Mm-hmm. Now it is done. Now he'll pack it up, put it in a box, and send it out for people to buy.
And to play. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Oh, you know, one of the world's greatest cello players is playing a concert tonight at the Neighborhood Music Hall.
Oh, you mean Yo-Yo Ma?
That's right.
Oh, well, I hope to be able to introduce my television neighbor to him. He's rehearsing at Negri's today.
Well, he's very busy.
I know he is. So are you.
That's right. Speedy delivery.
Thanks again, Mr. McFeely.
Oh, you're welcome. I like to learn about a lot of different things.
I know you do.
Goodbye.
Bye. Let's have some make-believe right now. Last time in the neighborhood of make-believe, Charles R. Aber from Westwood suggested that everyone make a festival. King Friday said it should be a bass violin festival. But he's the only one who seems to be able to play a bass violin. Well, let's pretend that Lady Aberlin is trying to learn how to play one. But she's having some trouble with it. To the neighborhood of make-believe, Charlie.
I know, Charlie, but Uncle Friday wants me to learn to play it. You're telling me.
Niece Aberlin, bass violin player, I presume?
Almost correct as usual, Uncle Friday.
What do you mean by almost correct, Lady Aberlin?
Well, I am Lady Aberlin, that's correct, but I am not a bass violin player.
But that is a fine instrument that I have provided for you. It was made by excellent instrument makers.
But Uncle Friday, just because a person has a fine instrument doesn't mean that person can play it well.
It's a good beginning, however. Now keep on practicing. Our bass violin festival will be in a few days.
But Uncle Friday...
No buts about it, Lady Aberlin. I shall listen to you later in the day.
Oh, honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, hello, old goat. How are you? Oh, I'm glad. You found me at sort of a bad time.
Ma!
Uncle Friday says I have to learn to play this big instrument.
Ma! Ma!
Yes, bass violin.
Ma! Ma!
That's right, for the festival. Are you going to play one too?
Ma! Ma!
Well, I don't either. See what I mean?
I didn't know you played the bass violin, Lady A.
I don't. But Uncle Friday thinks I should.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Now, this festival has turned out to be somewhat of a problem, hasn't it?
Certainly has.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello, Lady.
Hi, Lady Lane.
I know your problem, and I've got it solved.
How do you mean?
Bass violins? Want to see me play mine?
I didn't know you could play one.
Well, you'll know in a minute.
But that's your accordion you're playing.
I know, but I figured that if it looked like a bass violin, that it could be enough for a festival.
You're a very clever person, Lady Elaine.
I know it, and now you know it.
I have an idea.
What?
Maybe I could just dance with this instrument, and that way I'd be doing something I know how to do.
How would you do that?
Thank you.
I have the feeling that we're going to have lots of different things in this festival, even though it's called a bass violin festival.
Why not?
You've given us some ideas, Lady Elaine.
I'm good at that, Tuts.
Yes, you certainly are.
Everything's going to be just fine. Don't you think, Olga?
Some people play an instrument and other people don't. It's so important to find out what we feel good about doing. And then practice that. Lady Elaine likes to play the accordion. So she does that well. Each one of us can find something that we like. And that's what we'll want to practice. Now, I'd like you to meet one of my favorite musical players in the world. So let's go to Negri's Music Shop to meet the wonderful cellist, Yo-Yo Ma. Come along. Joe.
Good.
I'm anxious to see Yo-Yo.
Well, he's in the back. He told me you'd be coming over to see him. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. You go on ahead.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Yo-Yo.
Hi, Fred.
So glad to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. I'd like you to know my television neighbor,
Hi.
Mr. Ma.
Hi.
We have a time to visit?
Sure.
I just heard you playing while I was waiting to come in. What was that you were playing?
Oh, that was some Bach, the end of a Bach suite that I just was trying to warm up, get my fingers moving.
Does Nicholas like to hear you play?
Sometimes, yeah. He likes to ride on my cello case.
He rides on the case?
Yeah. But he does recognize the cello, and he likes, you know, moves around to music and likes it, yeah.
Mr. Ma has a son whose name is Nicholas. I just wondered if he would ever want to play the cello.
Oh, I don't know. That really, I think, is up to him to decide. I hope that he would get interested in music, because obviously that's what I do, and I think he listens to a lot of it. But if he really likes an instrument, maybe he'll want to play it.
It'll have to come from here, won't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Because you started to play when you were very young, didn't you?
Sure, I was 4 years old, and I first started on the violin, and I have an older sister who plays violin, and I didn't want to, I could never be as good as she was, and so I said, forget it, I didn't want to, rather play in the sandbox for a while, and then one day I saw a double bass, and that was, you know, it was huge, absolutely huge instrument, and I thought this was my type of instrument, and that's what I wanted to do, but my parents said, you know, look, kid, you might be able to live in the double bass, you can't climb up it, and so we compromised on playing the cello, and I promised my parents I'd stick to the cello and not switch again, and so I've kept up my end of the bargain.
Well, when you play, I'm sure you have a lot of different feelings, and as you played as a child, did you ever play happy things or sad things or angry things just because you wanted to?
Oh, sure. I mean, there would be times when I, playtime, you know, play if I was happy. I don't know, something good. There's so many moods that I went through, and by the time I had accumulated a repertoire of pieces, I just played there. One of my favorite was The Swan, which was. And there are just many, many moods. And this was obviously a very peaceful, tranquil mood.
Did you ever play when you were really angry?
Sure. And I there's one piece I know that I love to get into. It was this piece. Goes on and on and on, and you're just digging in with all your strength and just got rid of a lot of frustrations.
And that's how you feel afterwards, relieved?
Relieved, absolutely relieved, and just after having given this all this burst of energy and felt good.
What about this cello of yours? This isn't the one you started with, is it?
No, I started on a miniature cello. It was like a 16th size, and some people claim it was a viola with a, you know, with this thing, the end pin sticking out. It's like just a tiny bit. I sat on like 3 phone books because there was no chair that was small enough for me to sit on. But this is a full size, adult size cello, and I started playing this about a year ago. And this is an Italian instrument made in 1712. It's very old, very, very old, and it was made in this village called Cremona by a man called Stradivarius.
Well, Stradivarius is one of the most famous makers of stringed instruments that there ever was.
That's right, that's right. He lived to be about in his 80s, and he made a lot of really, really great instruments. And this one is very, very light. Try holding it, because it looks like a huge, huge instrument, and yet, you know,
it's very light.
It's surprisingly light, and the wood is, if you notice, is very, very thin. But it's, you know, it's very strong, and it gives a beautiful tone.
To be heavy. Oh, there's his name in there, and where he lived.
That's right.
Cremona, Stradivarius. We have to take good care of that.
Oh, sure. And when I travel all the time, it's like sometimes you go from a hot place to a cold place, and you take care of it. One of the things I do in the winter, because the houses are heated so much, is that it gets very dry. And this is a dampet which has a sponge in it, and you put some water in it, and it lets off some humidity. Oh, there's always a first time.
Yeah, it sure is. I'd love to hear you play something, just so my friends can know what a wonderful player you are.
Well, I'd love to play something for you. How about two dance movements by a man named Bach, who lived, I think, around the beginning of the 1700s.
Okay, hear that. And people would actually dance to this music?
Oh, sure, yeah. I think they should. Okay.
For that.
Did you like that?
Do you know what a present that is? When you play something for somebody, it's just like giving them a present.
Oh, well, I so much enjoy it. And,
did you hear that?
How are you? Nice to see
beautiful.
You.
Oh, just beautiful.
We've been having a good visit.
Have you?
Yes.
It's just fabulous to have you here.
Well, I'm having a very, very nice time.
When did you start to play the guitar?
Well, I was about 6 years old for the guitar, but I was playing the ukulele about four.
Four.
Hey, you see? That's pretty good.
Yo-Yo started when he was four.
Yeah, well, I started when I was four. I had four strings, and you have six strings, so that makes perfect sense, right?
That's right.
It sure does. Do you think you could play something together?
Sure. I have a guitar right here. I'd love to. It would be my pleasure.
You like to play with other people, don't you?
Oh, I love to.
What do you want to do?
I think we ought to do something that we do in the neighborhood a lot here. Tree, tree, tree.
Good.
Yes.
Nicholas is so fortunate to have you for his dad. Your girls are fortunate to have you for their dad.
Thank you.
You know, I noticed sometimes while you were playing, you would close your eyes.
Yes.
It's just as if you are making another place.
Well, it's, well, I think when I close my eyes, I can think better. I can feel more what I want to say through the instrument.
I think I can agree with you on that. When I close my eyes, it puts you into a kind of...
puts you in a different world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I know that you have a lot of rehearsing to do, and I'm very grateful that you'd let us...
Okay. Thank you, Carol.
...be part of your day.
Thank you.
See you later.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye,
my dear.
See you later, Joe.
See you, Joe.
What a fabulous musician.
Isn't he that?
Isn't he something?
You know, he touches something. He and his music touch something that's so deep inside.
Yeah. Music can do that. I know.
You know, don't you? Thanks, Jeff.
I'll see you later.
Come along. After you've heard someone play beautiful music, sometimes you'd just like to have a quiet time to remember it. Let's just sit and think about what we've heard. I like to know people who use their lives to make music for others. It gives me such a good feeling that there are such people in this world. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. I like to have television visit with you. I do. And you know when I'll be back? Next time. That's right. We'll be together then. Bye-bye.
The people who gave the money to make Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood are the people of this and other public television stations and the Sears Roebuck Foundation.
This is PBS.